Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm here on time today. Isn't this a novel thing? Not quite as busy. I'll tell you, the weather yesterday gave us a run for our money, but today's a lot quieter. So happy to be here. And I've got Ken Wydelski. And I've been hanging out with Ken all this week, and it's been a lot of fun. Ken, where are you from? What do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am originally from Glen Cove, New York, from Long Island, just outside of New York City by about 30 to 40 minutes. I got into the National Weather Service late in 1999, and I've been all across the country. My current position is a National Aviation Meteorologist at the FAA Air Traffic Control Center in Warrenton, Virginia. So there, we provide decision support services to the FAA senior leadership, to planning, providing decisions on planning routes of airplanes, as well as TAF updates, ad hoc briefings for airlines and such. So we have a very extensive job there that entails 16/7 every day.
Yeah, no kidding. You're busy. Your first time up here to Adventure.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Well, it was just like you would describe it, Mitch. You know, you come in, it's like trial by fire. You know, you're going into the lion's den with Daniel. So you got to come in and set everything up. And you weren't kidding. This is crowded here.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's a well time. Yeah.
You've got to go, you know, from doing national traffic management initiatives to now you're back on site with 700,000 people and 10,000 airplanes. So it's been quite a challenge for me, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been good having you up here. And, of course, we dealt with a lot of questions about the weather yesterday, so we were busy with that. In your day-to-day, what does it look like? What kind of role are you playing in helping to protect the airspace? And just kind of give us an idea of, I know you're doing briefings, you're having to put together you know, some forecasts, and you're coordinating with other offices and such. Give us more of an idea of what it looks like day to day for you.
Well, you come in and you pour your coffee, and then you're off to the races, essentially. From 4:30 in the morning, you're getting spun up on all the major weather impacts. It's not just for one area, it's for 30 core U.S. airports. So at all times, you know, we have to know what the minimums are for those airports, what causes a major impact. Right in the first half hour, we go in, we do a weather analysis, we coordinate with the centers, and then we do our TAF briefings every 2 hours with planning calls. That tells the planners, the national ops managers, the advanced planners what to look for major impacts. And sometimes they have to make rapid decisions. You know, they've got to move thousands of aircraft from New York to Chicago, and you've got thunderstorms blowing up over the Great Lakes.
Right.
And you have to be the one that says, you know, hey, this is going to expand, or it's going to be sparse. Maybe you can slide airplanes through this. Maybe you have to reroute them. So they know weather. The FAA guys know weather. We have to know what's beyond the models. We can't just regurgitate what's out there. We have to know patterns and have a certain level of experience that they rely on, because you're talking about thousands of airplanes at one time. So it's frequent briefings, frequent coordination, coordinating with the CWSUs, and then also with the airline meteorologists as well. So you're making sure you've got one coherent, consistent message that goes out every hour. And then we have people that are doing advanced planning work for days 2 through 5, which is a whole nother thing.
For sure. Yeah. It's a busy job. Do you know very much about the history, like how long that the NAMs have been there with the FAA Command Center? And I don't know if you do. I don't know a ton about the history there, but can you shed any light on that?
Prior to 1995, we started bringing a few staff in. There used to be a center up in Herndon, Virginia. And then when the NWS had their pilot projects in late 2011, 2012, they had already moved that facility down to Warrenton, Virginia. So you have the TRACON and the command center. That's when we started staffing meteorologists called National Aviation Meteorologists back on there in 2012. And the program has continued to expand since then. We have a staff of 6 people.
Sometimes.
Well, we haven't had a staff of 6 people in over 2 years.
Right.
You know, my hair's been falling out, and this is one of the reasons why. There's high burnout.
The thinning is underway. Yes,
that's right.
With all that, yeah. Best parts of the job?
I would say it's a very fun place to work. You're working with FAA that are probably in the top 10% in the country. These are the top level FAA people. So it's a professional environment. It's a fun environment. But as a meteorologist, what do you dream about? You know, when you're a kid playing baseball, you're at the bottom of the ninth, you're going to hit the home run. Yeah. As a meteorologist, you want to be in the center of attention, center of attraction, putting that briefing together that's going to change somebody's life. And that's what we do every single day. It's you're going on site with customers, becoming experts at what they do. And you get a tremendous amount of experience. I know myself, I can go do a briefing on the fly anywhere because of the experience I've gained from working there.
That's awesome. Now, before that, what was kind of your road? How did you get into meteorology? And what was, I know you've had a lot of stops along the way, but take us back a few years and tell us how you kind of decided on getting into meteorology and going this route.
So I got into weather September 27, 1985, right?
Got down to the date.
I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago, but I can remember, 40 years
morning
ago.
Morning or afternoon? Do you remember the before or after lunch?
The eye wall was coming in. I forgot a lot of that. I was seven at the time. So Hurricane Glory was hitting Long Island, and Al Roker was on Channel 4.
Gotcha.
And I was in the living room with my parents on a battery-operated Panasonic TV because the power was out.
No kidding.
Watching Gloria come into Long Island. And ever since then, I drove my parents crazy, wanting to look out the window every 5 minutes, wrecking the curtains. My mother would drive me out of the living room. And then I just started to pursue weather. It was just a thing. You know, and we didn't have any technology back then, you know, not like today.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I went to college for it, and I started working in the National Weather Service, Brookhaven National Lab, which is the New York City office, and that was right around the time of 9/11. Mm. Imagine being there launching weather balloons the night before, you know, that impact.
Wow.
We had the hiring freeze after that. I got out of school, and then I went in the private sector on the radio for a while. Did radio.
Oh, you're back home.
I'm back home today. Exactly, with the New York accent. Jimmy Stewart's online.
Yeah, he'd be proud. Yeah.
Texas after that, 7 years. I did 2 years in the Austin San Antonio Weather Service as an intern, and then 5 years in Lubbock. All the dry line, severe weather you'd ever want for 5 years. And then I was a lead forecaster in Albuquerque, New Mexico, all the wildfires and skiing and all that stuff.
Yep.
Back to the Sterling National Weather Service for the Weather Ready Nation pilot project. So I was one of the original emergency response specialist meteorologist positions. Yeah. And then over to headquarters for 8 years, briefing the NOAA senior leadership, the directorate, doing activations at FEMA headquarters, and then I became the national FEMA liaison going on disaster response operations, and then over to the FAA command center for 3 years now.
Just a few stops?
Only a couple. It's like hitchhiking your way around Oshkosh.
There you go. That's right. That's exactly right. Jump in the car, right?
That's
jump
right.
So as far as like the aviation side goes, you know, a lot of us, I'm speaking for myself too here, had an interest in weather, got in, and didn't necessarily see ourselves being involved specifically with aviation.
No.
You never, it was never on my radar really at all.
No.
And tell me a little bit about why you enjoy aviation forecasting versus other stops that you've made along the road.
I was always an emergency management guy. I knew their language. I fit in well at all these command centers, doing all the deployments and stuff. But when I was a field forecaster, I got into TAF writing and amending TAFs and working with Rick Curtis at Southwest Airlines to help develop the TAF discussions.
Gotcha.
So then I got real fascinated as to why airplanes need to carry billions of dollars worth of fuel just for dense fog.
Yeah.
And I realized there's a huge discrepancy to what we consider important. We value warnings, severes, and tornadoes, whereas the TAF is actually just as important because aviation is by far more expensive than any severe weather event there is. So then I got fascinated there, and then later turned back to aviation when it became more of a decision support role versus issuing a TAF in a field office.
Interesting. Very cool. Yeah, so I've been hanging out with you for a few days, but I didn't know all this. So this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. Your career, if there's anybody listening that's kind of like, I'm into aviation, because of that I'm into weather, but we've got about a minute left. But I might like this weather route. What would you say? Go for it. What are the things to kind of focus on if they're looking at that kind of career?
First, you got to do what you enjoy in life.
Sure.
Don't do a job that you don't like. You're going to be miserable. You're going to make your family miserable. And be sure you enjoy it because of the shift work. But get your degree.
Yeah, sure.
Get a master's if you can. If you like aviation, go to your local field office. Visit a center weather service. Get some understanding, volunteer, get the experience, and then just pursue that path. Eventually, you'll narrow down your career field like I did. I was all over the place and then said, I love this decision support stuff, and you just go with it. The doors will just open up.
Well, it's a great thing. You know, it's like a where the rubber meets the road kind of angle to it. You're not just sitting there just behind the scenes, maybe pushing a forecast out, but you're right there in the decision making.
Yeah, and, it's it's a rare job.
Yeah, it's got some energy to it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Well, Ken, it's been a pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining me. Great to talk shop for a little bit. And safe travels tomorrow getting home,
Thank you very much. Been great to be here.
Yeah, awesome. All right, folks, that's Weather Nuts. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Till then.